Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special moms in your life. And what better way than with Osea's limited edition skincare sets featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has 2 limited edition sets, perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their Golden Glow body set includes 3 clinically proven bestsellers for silky, smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set has everything she needs to achieve spa-level results at home. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. For a limited time, you can save up to $48 on Osea sets, plus get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. Pamper the moms in your life and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. That's OSEAMalibu.com, code MOM.
We would like to acknowledge that this podcast meeting is being held on Aboriginal land, the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, and we would like to pay respect to their elders past, present and emerging, and their multiple birth parents of children with disabilities who are P-moms from America to ID girls.
This podcast contains truth, laughter and the occasional F word. It's not suitable for children. Put your earbud, pods, headphones, whatever you want to call them, put them in.
Hello, Kate.
Here we are back in the pod bar.
Yes, we are. Very special too.
Very special. This is our first, actually, what's coming up tonight.
Yes.
Yeah, remember when you used to watch, like, I don't know, TV? This is very first. This first time in Australia this has ever happened. Well, first time in the pod bar this has
That's
happened.
Right. And we're super excited. So we'll just get to it.
Yeah.
We want to introduce to you a lovely P mom. Her name is Lana. And if you're in the hangout, you might recognize her. So hello, Lana.
Hi.
Hi. And where are you? Where are you, well, Skyping or whatever we're using in from?
I am in Ohio, America.
Yeah.
It is cold here. Even though it's May, it's supposed to be beautiful spring weather, but it's not.
Right.
But it stopped snowing though. Do you have snow?
I don't think so.
Okay.
No, it's just cold.
Just cold.
I just have to say that I spent 2 months in Cincinnati.
That's right, for your summer camp.
I did the summer camp, yes. So I feel like we're practically sisters.
Yeah.
It was 1998. But that's lovely. I feel like I can picture where you are.
Yeah, and Cincinnati is part of my story.
Oh, right. Let's do it. Okay, so go for it, Kate. Let's start the questions.
You know the gauntlet you must run. What do you have a favorite song or band or piece of music that gets you through either hard times or you listen to when you're feeling happy?
So in honor of all things Aussie, I am obsessed with the Savage Garden Affirmation.
Oh, what such an album. Great song, an album, yes.
I think it's 99.
Yes. 99,
something like that. But that is my go-to when I am feeling not right. Yeah. I listen to that. I'm like an animal.
Yes. I used to listen to that on repeat, that album.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just love it. And it's the only one that's like, it goes from the, it went from the CD to the CD player to the iPod. Yes. Now it's on the iPhone.
Yes. Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah, that's awesome. Darren Hayes is awesome.
Yes.
Yeah. Cool. I would I'm not expect to that
tomorrow.
That. Yeah. Yeah. Put it back in our minds.
Well, that is beautiful. So my next question is, did you win any awards at school?
Oh, this one I was prepared for because I had to really think about it.
Good.
And I'm sure there was a couple of those like student of the week and, yeah, and silly things like that. But the one that stood out to me was I got a letter in the mail my senior year of high school. I was so excited. And my grandparents flew in from New Jersey.
Wow.
For this award. And it didn't say what it was. It just said you're invited to the awards banquet, yada, yada, yada.
Yep.
So we all go and it's in the gym and we're sitting there and there is so-and-so got a scholarship and so-and-so got this other scholarship and who got this award for, I don't know, pole vaulting, whatever it was. And then they list the perfect attendance award.
Oh.
And all we do is stand up and split in our spaces and then sit back down. Didn't even get to go to the stage.
And that was your award.
That was it.
Your grandparents came from New Jersey. So they were even around back then and your grandparents flew in.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I thought I was getting a scholarship or something important. And I got perfect attendance. Which I knew I was getting because I purposely did that because your senior year in the high school I went to. If you did perfect attendance, you didn't have to take your final exam.
Oh, really?
So wow. I purposely didn't miss school because I didn't want to take final
exam. What an incentive.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
Big disappointment.
And what did your grandparents say? Like, hi and congratulations? Or
Well, you know, they were from New York, New Jersey. So there was some choice words. The whole way home, which was about a 10-minute drive, was quite a bit of cursing and ridiculousness. But, you know, we still got to visit, so it wasn't the end of the world.
And how much did they love you? They came, they didn't know what your award you were getting, and they came to support you.
Right. Aww.
But maybe the school should change that system.
Yeah.
You don't know if you're getting a scholarship or perfect attendance.
Yeah, that's that right was quite some time ago. Hopefully, it's changed.
Yeah, hopefully. Who knows? Hopefully.
Goodness.
Oh, that's amazing. So, because in America, your university, you know, you've got into university before you finished your final year, don't you?
Yeah, I think normal people do. I don't know if I did because I just went to like a local technical college.
Right. And
there wasn't any. Wasn't any excitement behind that.
Yeah.
Right.
Because here our final exams give us the mark to get into university. So we don't know till like 2 months after school's finished.
That would be stressful.
It is stressful.
It's very stressful. I mean,
well, not for me because I didn't go.
But for some people, scholarship found it slightly stressful.
Probably not for our kids.
No. Now we're smooth sailing now. We're not doing that again.
No.
Oh, okay, boy. And the big question that everyone wants to know, why are you a P?
I am a P mom.
Not mom.
Because I have identical girls who were born at 26 weeks to the day.
Oh, to the day.
To the day, yep. Due to, we're still unsure, either twin to twin or selective intrauterine growth restriction. Still not really sure what happened there.
Okay. Did you know like at 24 weeks that this was going to be happening or was it a big shock?
Yeah, what was that first start of the pregnancy like?
Yeah.
I believe it was around 22 weeks I was sent to the specialist, which was standard procedure, just to get the bigger scan. Yep. They had like a way bigger machine.
Yep.
And then everything was good until about 23 and a half weeks or so, because I was going like every 3 days.
Yeah.
And I started to see some reverse flow. I'm trying to remember all this crazy medical terminology.
Yep.
They sent me to the Cincinnati Children's Hospital, which has a special unit for twin-to-twin.
Right. And how far away from your house is that?
That is 4 hours.
Oh, wow.
So my husband and I left the day before, spent the night, had to pay for a hotel. The appointment was very early. It was like, you know, 7 or 8 in the morning. And then I had a series of echoes and different types of, I don't even remember, different. I know I fell asleep on the table while they were scanning me.
Wow.
You were so tired.
Yeah. So tired. And they said everything was good and sent me home.
Oh.
And I bought a pair of very expensive boots on the way home.
Fair enough.
Yep. I said, if everything is good, I'm going to buy expensive boots. Yeah. The following week, I went back to my regular doctor for the standard weekly scan that we were doing anyway.
Yep.
And they said, nope, got to go back to Cincinnati. I'm seeing it again. So I went back to Cincinnati, 4 hours overnight, the whole deal. I had to take vacation time from work, mind you.
Yeah, of course.
And they said, nope, looks fine.
Oh.
Again.
All this trauma.
Yep. And then they were seeing the heart things. Both my girls had different heart defects.
Right.
So they did see that, the VSD and ASD, ventral septal, whatever.
Right. Yeah.
But other than that, they said everything looks good. Sent me home.
Right.
Okay.
And then again, back to the scan. And she said, well, I'm putting you on bed rest in the hospital for 24-hour monitoring.
Right.
So I was there for the duration of it was 2 weeks, like 24 to 26 weeks. So it was like the 2 weeks.
Okay.
I don't remember if it was the full 2 weeks or not.
Was that closer to your home? That wasn't at the children's hospital?
It wasn't at the children's, but it was in Akron, which also houses the Akron Children's Hospital.
Okay,
I don't know if you've ever heard of it. It's pretty like a pretty prestigious hospital here.
Right.
I wasn't there. I was at like the adult hospital that partnered with them.
Mm-hmm.
But it is like a good 45 minutes from my house. So then they came in one the Sunday. It was a Sunday. They came in the middle of the night and said, we're putting the IV in. We're taking the fluids from you. And it's like, oh, that's bad. And then everything else is kind of a blur.
Was your, is it your husband or your partner? Was he there with you?
My husband got the call. I called him when it was, the nurses came in and said, you need to call your husband, because I wasn't in any kind of state where I was like, what's happening? What's going on? Are we sure we want to do a C-section? It is very, very much, you know, goes from 0 to 60 in your mind. He made it just in time. They had me completely prepped, as you guys know what that's like. in the delivery room, just about to wheel me out, he made it there. He looked like he'd been hit by a bus.
Oh, God.
And my husband, love him, doesn't like the smell or sight of blood. He has that reaction.
Yeah. Great. Here we go.
And he passed out in the delivery room.
Oh, nuts.
So on top of everything else, we have to deal with that.
Oh, Lordy, you'll never forget that.
I still give him shit for it.
Yeah, fair enough too, you know.
Yes, fair enough. Oh, my goodness. Oh. So he's lying on the floor. You're having babies.
Yeah, they got him. You've got my arms spread. They got you on that cross thing with the they swiftly took the babies away, and the next thing I know, I'm in recovery and I can't feel anything. And then they wheeled them in, and Akron Children's Hospital, to give a shout out to them, are just amazing.
Aww.
They have a NICU mobile unit.
Awesome.
And they brought two of them, obviously. And they, you know, wrap the babies, and they have these giant isolates.
Yeah.
And it's all very scary. But looking back, it was comforting in a way.
Yes.
You knew they were safe.
Yes.
Even though they were so tiny.
Yeah. What were their weights?
2 pounds and like 1.5.
Yeah.
And I don't remember what the grams in that
yeah,
way.
That's okay. Super little.
Super little.
Yes.
Yeah.
But and yes. They were each right around 12 inches, so about a foot.
Yeah.
Wow. Did you know they were girls when you were pregnant with them?
Funny story. I thought for sure I was having boys. I had names picked out.
Yeah.
And my husband has four sisters.
Right.
He said, no, these are definitely going to be girls.
Really?
And it was confirmed, I think, about the 22-week, right before we went to Cincinnati, they confirmed they were girls. And I said, wow, that's so weird, because I just had a feeling they were boys. Well, yeah.
He knew it.
Yeah.
He knew it, yeah. He knew it.
He knew his life was going to continue being about women.
Yep, exactly. Surrounded by women, he's always been.
Yes.
So 26 weeks. Did you then have to like ring stunned family and friends? How were you?
Yeah, did people know?
Yeah.
My immediate family knew I was in the hospital, obviously.
Yeah.
And my best friend knew. She's in Arizona, so she's definitely not close.
Yeah.
And it was kind of a shock. I didn't know what to do first. Mm. I went into like preparation mode, I guess you would call it. I called my boss the first thing I did for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And I had to let her know I was going to be on leave.
Yeah, of course.
I was actually working remotely from the hospital for those 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to take away from my, they don't really call it maternity leave, but essentially I didn't want to take away from my maternity leave. So I don't know if you guys are familiar, but here in America, every company's policy is pretty much different.
Right.
And depending on how long you've been with the company, which I was grateful because I was with them for 12 years.
Right. Okay.
And so I had, I still had like 3 weeks of vacation, which I had used some obviously for the Cincinnati trips.
Yes.
And then you get 6 weeks of maternity leave.
Right.
Which they call short-term disability.
Yep.
And then after that.
That's what they call maternity leave.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Just, you know, because you're disabled.
and then
right.
Can you stay off work for a year though, unpaid?
Oh, no.
No. Okay.
No. You can take up to an additional 6 weeks of unpaid family medical leave.
That's all.
And that's only if your company allows it, if you've been there for that period of time. And by no means am I a business expert or a lawyer or anything.
No.
But that was what my company provided. So
So
I knew I had 6 weeks of recovery essentially from the from the C-section.
Oh.
Which was, I needed every bit of that.
And your tiny baby's in hospital.
And you, so right. If you're lucky, you get 12 weeks.
Yeah. Most people don't take the 12 weeks because of that six. It's unpaid.
They want the
money.
And a lot of people
can't afford to do it.
Yep.
And I just, bit the bullet. And so what I ended up doing was I took the 6 weeks, which I had to take for my physical health.
Yes.
And the girls were still in the hospital. I went back to work.
Yes,
of
you had
course,
to.
Because you need to be home when they're home.
How did you do that?
Right. I suffered from postpartum anxiety, which a lot of people don't talk about.
No,
and
they say depression instead of anxiety.
Thing.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I, which I'm, I could have afforded it, but I lost like 40 pounds. It was great.
Yeah, but it's different to losing weight because you're trying, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a different state of mind.
It's a stress.
Yeah. It looks different when
you're
not trying.
It's rapid
loss. And you lose it rapidly like that.
Yes.
Yep.
I physically couldn't eat. My throat felt like it was closing every
Absolutely.
Minute of the day.
Yep.
I understand that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Pumping. Will you guys call it expressing?
Expressing, yeah.
We call it pumping.
Pumping,
Pumping at work.
Pumping, yep. I carried the pump. And as a twin mom, I was a cow.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
I was producing 32 ounces a day.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yep. Amazing.
I was like that.
It was Yeah, I had to buy a deep freezer for my
kids
to put the milk in. Yeah,
put all the milk in, and of course they were so tiny they were taking drops.
Yes, that's right.
Of course, yes.
By the time I went back to work, I think they were taking about an ounce and a half.
Oh, yeah.
Something very, very small amount, and I'm producing, you know, gallons.
Yes,
yep, yep. Well, at least you had that store up for when they came home.
Oh, my word.
Yes. Well, and I can get into this, but while they were in the hospital, they developed a milk allergy.
Oh, what? Oh, tell us all about that.
So each of them at different times developed this. I think it was more of like a milk protein allergy.
Yep.
One had the bleeding or the bloody stools, and then the other one was having like gas, and she was blowing up. Like you could see, like her stomach was bloated. So I pumped as long as I could for them, and then I still had the freezer full. So I ended up donating it to a mom that her special needs daughter needed it. She couldn't make. She tried everything. She just couldn't make any milk. So she came like three different times and took coolers full.
Oh, what a woman you are, Lana! My goodness.
Yeah, I actually just kept like two little, just small ones. Just like they're still in the freezer.
Yes. I had mine for a long time too. Years. I kept them for years.
We moved house and then I was like, okay.
Okay. Yeah.
It's time.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a little shrine to yourself or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when, just going back a little bit, when you had to leave the hospital and come home without the babies, how did that feel? How did you react to that?
There was lots of crying.
Yeah.
You know, and you cry just from being, you know, postpartum.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
This was beyond. I cried in church. I went to church with my mom because it was over Easter.
Yeah.
And we went to an Easter service and I cried. And she said, "You can't cry in church. What, this is happy. What are you doing?" Oh, my gosh. And actually, I cried in the drugstore picking up my prescription.
Yes.
And I cried in the McDonald's drive-thru.
Yep.
And I had no shame. I cried everywhere at every moment.
Yep.
And it was like there just wasn't enough grief and enough tears to get me through. And I'm sure the anxiety was part of that, but on top of just the stress of everything.
Well, and not knowing babies born that early, you know, you just don't know what's going to happen the next day.
You don't, and every day was a roller coaster.
Yes.
If one was having a good day, the other one wasn't.
Yes.
And it was, okay, we would joke, who's the troublemaker today?
Yeah.
And you start to think about that in terms of their personality, even though that's wild because they weren't even meant to be born, but you're already starting to label, or you're the tricky one that day, or you're the jaundiced one, or you're the one that's got infections, or it's bizarre.
Exactly, yep. And they've remained pretty true to those.
Have they? Now, we didn't ask you their names, so you don't have to tell their names, but you can if you'd like to, or because we obviously don't share our names.
Well, we call – these aren't their real names, but we call one of them Beans.
Oh, cute.
Or Beanie, or any variation of Bean.
Yep.
Because my husband thought she looked like a little bean.
Oh, yes.
She was full of brown hair. You know, all over that hair that they have all over.
Yep.
And she would curl up in the isolate, and she still sleeps like that, like a little beanie.
Aww.
So she's, and we sometimes call her Beanzer.
Yeah.
All the variations. And the other one we will call Gem.
Gem.
Oh, gorgeous name.
She's our gem.
Yes.
Oh.
Wow.
They just come, their nicknames come to you, don't they?
They really do.
It really is. It's funny how it sticks. And my dad kept saying, you can't call them that. You call them by their names. You can't do that. And I said, well, we're going to.
Yeah, that's right.
They'll know their real names, so don't worry.
Yeah, that's right. The teacher probably won't stand up at their graduation and go, hey, Beans.
Perfect attendance. Can you tell us a little bit about, like, how – with respect to your family, how did your family cope? Like, how did your extended family?
Yeah. So my parents are still married.
Yep.
Long time. My husband's parents are divorced. So he's got a stepdad and stepmom and
right.
then siblings on each of those sides.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yep.
So they were all just super supportive.
All right.
My parents came over every single day.
Yeah.
You know, when they were still, at the time they were still working, they hadn't retired yet.
Right.
Yeah.
And my mom was going through some health issues of her own.
Yeah.
So we were just, it was like an uphill battle. And I, at one point I physically couldn't, when Bean came home first, she
right.
came home after 84 days.
Oh. 84 days.
And when she came home, because paternity leave isn't a thing.
Right.
My husband took, I want to say it was it's really hard to remember, 2 or 4 days, something like that, a very short time, because that was all the vacation time that he had.
Oh, goodness.
And it was right, like, so I was able to drive at that point.
Right,
so
yes.
He came home, and then I was able to drive, and that was kind of it. And when Bean came home, I was literally on my own.
Yes.
And I don't have any younger siblings. I never babysat. We had
yeah.
been married 10 years before we even decided to have children.
Yeah.
Yeah. Big shock.
At one point I physically couldn't even get up to the door to answer it. And I
yes.
just had Bean laying on me
oh.
and I couldn't breathe, and I'm calling my mom and I
yes.
couldn't speak. And they just whisked over. They had a key. They came in. They brought me food, and it was all hands on deck because I couldn't cope.
No.
And it took weeks to get into a rhythm of
yes.
okay, get Bean up, get dressed, get to the hospital, sit at the hospital with Jem.
Mm.
Dad comes there after work. We all drive home, go to bed,
and
then repeat.
Yeah.
And Jem had 145 days in NICU.
Wow. Oh, that's a long time.
What's that in months?
Oh, I don't know.
I believe she came home in July, and they were born in February, and
oh,
Bean came home
goodness.
In May.
So 5 or 6 months.
Yeah, that's a
yeah.
long time.
Yeah.
Oh,
yep.
my goodness.
Yeah. And the she would have been in the hospital much longer had I not opted to do the feeding tube.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep,
okay.
Yeah.
Yep. All right.
Yeah. So Jem came home with the feeding tube, which was a whole nother anxiety.
Yes.
I'm not in the medical field in any way.
Yes.
And all the equipment and everything.
Oh, yes. And how long did she have that for?
She got it out in June.
Okay.
Of this past summer. Hadn't used it for a year, but had it because that
yes.
was their rules.
Yep, got it.
But still eats like a bird.
Yeah. Oh, yep, we know.
That may continue forever.
Can I
yeah.
just ask too, while you were in the hospital, and I know you need your own podcast, let me just say this,
yes.
because you've still that you've got so much to say, right?
Yep.
And so we acknowledge that.
Yeah.
That we've had the, I don't know, whatever, to tell our whole story. And we know that today we're only going to hear like the tiniest bit.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Mm-hmm.
But was there any rectum comments when you were in hospital that you remember? Did anybody say anything?
yes. And
do any
unfortunately,
stick in your mind?
Yeah, the comments came from closed rectums.
Yeah.
I'm trying to,
I know. Sometimes you can't remember them. It'll come back to you at about 3 o'clock in the morning. You're like, that's what they said.
What else do we need to tell everybody? It's 6 a.m. right now
yes,
that you are talking to us. So it's our 8 o'clock at night. It's your 6 a.m. So you're doing an amazing job already.
You are.
And I didn't have time to make coffee this morning.
Oh, my God.
We haven't done that yet. I think that the biggest thing was, you're so lucky you can only take one home at a time. Imagine bringing them both home at the same time. That was one. And I was like, what?
Yeah, that's not. I actually was having twins, so I thought I would be taking
be
them
bringing
home
them
at
both
once.
Home.
So what are you saying?
Yeah.
Who wants
right.
to leave a baby in the hospital?
I don't think there's anything
right.
more hurtful, actually, to
no.
be saying.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of the rectum comments have come since they've been home.
Yeah.
Mostly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sadly, they don't stop.
Right. And I have, you know, resting bitch face.
Yeah.
Which, I've perfected.
Yes, me too. Yep.
Especially with strangers.
Yes. Oh, yeah. They don't deserve our, our time.
Well, we haven't got the emotional energy because we're awesome people.
Yeah.
And we're doing awesome work mostly with our children. And so those people don't have the time. We don't give them the time.
No.
No.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how we say it. So when you let me just go back to when you brought Bean home, were you still expressing? Did you breastfeed, nurse? Did you go to bottles? How did you do both? Were you still expressing for Jem?
I was still for her doing the every 3 hour pumping. By that point, Beanie had already had her bleeding stools, and she was already on a formula called Elicare, which is $55 a can.
Oh my goodness.
$55 a tin. Do we have anything like that here?
I don't think so.
I think it would all be covered by Medicare.
Oh my word.
I was fortunate that because in America, in order to qualify for Medicare, if you already have private insurance, you have to be in the hospital at least 30 days. Well, obviously they were. So they did get Medicare.
Okay. Right. I was going to say, how much did it cost you?
Medicaid. Yeah, we have Medicare.
Yeah, Medicaid. They did have that for a year.
Right.
So I was fortunate in that respect that that was able to cover what the private insurance didn't, which was, $100,000 and change per child medical bill.
Would be huge. I know what ours were, and mine boys ran in for a few weeks.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. And the formula I was able to get through our WIC clinic. I don't know if you guys have something like that. Women, infants, children.
It's
a feeding provider.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah. And that was for a short period of time. I was able to get it through there while they had the Medicaid, because that was just temporary, unfortunately. Yeah.
Do you have anything over there like we have here, the Multiple Birth Association? Who do you did you seek that out? How did that work?
There is a group, Mothers of Multiples.
Right, yeah.
And they have different, I don't know if it's by county or by city, different divisions. I didn't join because there was a fee, and at the time I couldn't afford it, and it was probably like $35 or something, but
still,
we were really paying pennies.
Yes, of course.
After Jem came home, I didn't go back to work.
Yes,
no,
okay.
Because of the feeding tube, I couldn't.
No.
I couldn't physically trust anyone. And only like one daycare that I think would even take her. And I can't even articulate it because I just couldn't do it.
Yes.
And I think when you've had vulnerable babies or children that have preemie or that have had medical procedures, it's really hard to hand them over.
Extremely hard.
It's really hard. So, we completely understand that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about the day that you brought her home, how that felt?
Jem?
Yeah. I mean, both, because we didn't ask about Bean either.
Yeah. How did it feel just bringing Bean home?
It felt like throat-closing anxiety.
Yes, I believe you.
I couldn't sleep. I was worried, in the NICU there's the beeping
and the
monitors when they stop breathing and the Brady and the and they really drill into you safe sleep, and which is great to drill that in because that's very important. But when you're already in a heightened anxiety phase, I would sleep for 5 minutes and then listen with my mom would call it sleeping with your ears open.
Yes, absolutely.
Then when Jem came home and I had the two of them, the sleep was just impossible.
Well, it's non-existent thing.
And my husband was working we were nodding off at dinner and we'd sit on the couch and we'd start, our heads would start nodding.
Yeah.
Oh, this is bad. This is so bad.
It's so bad.
No one will ever be, triplet mums or other higher order multiples, but you will never be that tired as newborn twins.
No.
Never, never, never.
I would rather work 5 24-hour shifts.
You just don't know that tiredness.
And it's just, and there's no light at the end of the tunnel.
No.
You just think, I am never going to sleep again.
Ever. Yep.
Ever.
And Jem had, she had overnight feeds. Yes. So every 3 hours, instead of pumping at this time, I was done pumping. I was doing the formula through the tube every 3 hours. So I went from pumping every 3 hours to essentially giving her the formula every 3 hours.
Yes.
So,
and how long did that take?
You know, it's hard to remember, but there was different prescriptions. It was first, it was over an hour, whatever the mLs was over an hour, and then she would have terrible spits. So they would try it over an hour and a half.
Yes.
And it was constantly back and forth to the feeding team and the doctor, and just to keep the fluid in was a challenge, and the cleanup. Oh. Luckily at the time I had like a laminate floor that was easy to clean up, but
wipe it up every time you lift them up.
Just keep it in.
Yes, come on. We've worked so hard, little
baby.
Yeah,
that is really, really stressful, and I don't think people quite understand that. That feeling of you've finally got your baby to take something and then they spit it all up.
Yeah.
Right. And she had to sit upright while she was getting the feed.
Yes.
So it wasn't just, oh, she's in the crib or in the bathroom at the time. She wasn't just in there and I could just walk away. Nope.
No.
I had to sit there and make sure she wasn't aspirating and spitting up. And then if she was, I had to stop the pump and clean up. And
surely sometimes Bean woke up during this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And she was my, and she still is, my eater.
Yep.
Every 3 hours, like clockwork, it was give it to me. I did try to nurse her at first before she developed the allergy, and that didn't work, which was fine.
Yes.
We still had all that milk.
Yep.
But then she took to the bottle pretty good. We had a special bottle. It was one that they use for cleft palate.
Yeah, the long teat. Yeah.
And it had a disc in it, and then we used the Dr. Brown's bottles, which is like 9,000 pieces that grandmas could not figure out to this day.
Well, of course you did.
She was pretty good. She did have some spits, but for the most part, like clockwork. And then, you know, they both ate every 3 hours, so it was hook up the pump, set up Gem, get beans. I had a put her in a special like holding position.
Yes.
You can't see my arms, but I'm doing the position.
Yes. I can picture.
And it was on repeat, and it was as soon as one was done, we just started right back over again.
Yes.
And my best friend flew in from Arizona and spent a week with me. She was a godstand. Shout out to Stephanie.
Friend extraordinaire. Well done.
Super P friend, because she would feed Bean while I was feeding Gem, because
such
there was some weeks we did try to offer her a bottle by mouth while she was on the pump.
Right.
So was trying to reinforce that oral feeding.
Yes.
Yep. It's just so exhausting.
And your husband was, what's his name? We didn't ask your husband's name.
My husband's name is Steve.
Steve. I'm sorry, Steve, if you're listening. That took us a while.
Yeah. He went from, you know, some gray hair to mostly.
Yes. I can believe it. Like overnight. I think I did.
Yeah.
My hair changed
it
too.
Ages.
That is one surefire way to see someone's been stressed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Look at your hair in a year.
Yeah, it's real.
It was very stressful.
Yeah.
And he was working 40 hours and trying to pay all the bills.
I was going
to
say,
we
how
were
did
trying
he manage?
To figure out how to live on one income.
Yes. So stressful. My goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember my husband saying, look, I was falling asleep on the freeway, you know, and I was like, oh, I should really be worried about that, but I'm so tired, I don't even care.
I know.
And that's not how I really felt, but that was how I felt in that moment.
Right.
Yep. Absolute exhaustion.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep.
And when did you get some sense of asking that there was something going on, or did you get a diagnosis? How did that look?
We have a early intervention program here that they were referred into right away.
Right.
And
just for being preemies.
I was willing.
Yes.
I was willing to accept anything. They could have told me that clowns were coming to the house every day to do a song and dance, and I would have said, sure, no problem.
Maybe they were clowns.
Yeah, come on over. Just make sure you have your flu shot, because I was really, really anal retentive about that.
Yes, and fair
Everyone
enough.
Wash hands.
Yeah,
this is why the pandemic us where I, where, you know, we can slip into that mode a little bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have a Purell dispenser that hangs in my house, and it's been here.
Yep.
We already had a box of masks.
Yeah,
you
walk
already.
In my house. I don't care if you Purell'd, you're washing your hands too.
Yeah, well done.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So they came to the house twice a month and did like physical therapy. You know, how much do you do with an infant? When the girls came home, they were both around that 5-6 pounds. Still pretty small, wearing preemie clothes. So they did a couple things with them that, you know, I don't even know what it was, but we started to see that Beans wasn't doing the things that Jem was doing.
Mm.
And Jem had started to roll across the room to get, you know, toys.
Yep.
And Bean was rolling, but not to get things, just to roll. It wasn't intentional. It seemed like, oh, whoop. Okay.
I can picture that.
And you know, we were hoping that she was just behind. Beans was our baby A, so she was the bigger one. She came out first. She was in the twin to twin transfusion world. She was the
recipient.
The one who was getting all the stuff. What do they call that?
Recipient twin. Yeah,
I can never remember all that. so for her to have any issues was unusual. And all the specialists and doctors we went to, you know, didn't really say anything until we went to a developmental specialist for the, what they call the NICU follow-up. So a year after you've been home, you see the NICU follow-up. They do an evaluation of these ridiculous, they hand them these toys that they're not interested in, and then they evaluate it, and it, you know, it seems like your kid could be speaking 7 languages, but there's no way they're going to pass this test. And at that point, you know, we knew something was up, but didn't know exactly what it was. So, you know, after the MRI, they diagnosed the, cerebral palsy, palsy.
However you say it, that's okay.
CP.
Periventricular leukomalacia.
That's what my Molly has. Oh, both my girls have.
Yes. She is a spastic diplegia. So, the legs are and ankles and hips are what's affected.
Both legs, diplegia. Both legs. Is that right?
Both legs.
Yep.
Hands, upper body, in her case, it's really from like the chest up is spot on. She feeds herself very well and can hold things. I'm being greeted here.
Good morning.
I hear a shuffling coming down the steps.
This is the reality of being a twin mom.
I wish we could see you.
Yes.
I hear it. I don't. Oh, there you are!
Oh, hello.
She's like, what is mommy
doing? So Jem
is
mobile.
Yeah.
Jem is my mobile twin who still has the feeding issues, and she's currently carrying an empty bottle because even at 3 years old, we still drink from the bottle.
Oh, that's fine.
Yes, that's okay.
Fed is best.
Yes. Don't let anyone worry about that.
No.
Goodness.
Yep.
So she uses, she uses a wheelchair.
Yes.
She doesn't know how to use it herself, but she has a wheelchair. She has a gait trainer. She has braces for her legs.
Yes.
She recently got glasses. I don't know if that's CP related or not, but she recently got glasses.
Yeah.
They're really cute.
Yeah, they would be so cute.
And at about 18 months actual, She had a regression, which is unusual because CP isn't progressive.
That's right. Yeah.
So prior to that, she had about 6 words she used appropriately. Hi, Dad. Eat. So on and so forth.
Yeah.
And then it kind of just stopped, and she wasn't interested in toys anymore. Really just wants to watch TV, specifically Puppy Dog Pals. And the speech is gone, and the interest in anything other than television is gone, and we don't know, we don't have answers. So she is nonverbal now.
Right. Oh my goodness, Lana. How did you come to terms with that?
This has probably been the hardest thing. As a mom, I miss hearing her voice.
Yes.
She and she's not quiet by any means, but I miss hearing those words. Our door to our garage makes like a squeaky noise. It needs some WD-40.
Yep.
And it would open, and my husband would come home. You know, he's like clockwork.
Yep.
And he would come home, and she'd turn her head, and she'd say, "Hi, Dad," just like that. And I loved hearing it. I'd be like, "Oh, Daddy's home."
Yes.
And it, you know, when it was 5 o'clock, eat. Yeah. Like, all right. Hang on, I'm making it.
Yeah.
And now it's just a lot of grunting and squealing and like moaning noises.
Yeah.
So she's been approved for a device that an AAC device, augmentive, whatever.
Yeah.
The device is $9,000.
Yes,
of course.
So you have to find that money.
So insurance covers 90% of it.
Right.
Okay. And I was fortunate because of all the therapies, she had met her deductible.
Right.
And she qualified for a program through the state.
Right. Okay.
That covers children with medical handicaps. So unfortunately, because it's a state program, it's a lengthy approval process.
Yes,
so we're waiting. Right. We've been waiting for probably 8 or 9 months now just for the approval process.
It's so long because she's got so much to communicate.
Mm-hmm. Does she, like, is speech therapy part of her therapies that she
Yeah, and they have a loaner device that they use during speech therapy to try to get her comfortable with it. Obviously we're not doing that right now.
No, because
of everything that's going on.
Yes.
She stopped in February. Stopped going to that when preschool started, which we only got to go to preschool for a week before they shut it down.
Lana, that's...
So if you're listening in the future, we are talking about COVID-19 pandemic, which
we're in May.
And we're in May now.
Yeah.
So that's a long time.
Yeah, for her to miss out on her therapies.
Yeah. And I don't have, you know, I don't even have anything that's close to the device here to use.
No, you wouldn't.
We have an iPad, but... If I were to download something, that just downloading it is like $1,000.
Yes,
something
that's
kind of similar.
Yeah,
and I wouldn't even want to do that because I think it would mess up.
Yeah,
computer.
Yeah.
Can I just go back a little step and just can you tell us a little bit about how you felt when you got that diagnosis of diplegia?
My husband and I were in the room, and the doctor that we had, unfortunately, that diagnosed it was very cold. And it was just kind of like, okay, so here we've got the CP diagnosis. Here's the referrals, PTOT speech. Speech came later. PTOT. Oh, I recommend probably going, once or twice a week. We'll see what the therapists say and have a great day.
I can just picture that.
We'll
mail
you a book. Yeah. So I got a book in the mail that was, you know, like a textbook.
Yeah.
I don't know how to read that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And we thought, well, you know, we've heard of kids with CP that you can't even tell.
Yes.
We've heard of kids with CP that are like, you know, completely.
Yeah.
We've heard of kids with CP who just have a little limp. And there was such a variance that we said, okay, well, we just kind of have to wait and see. And I remember we went and got grilled cheese sandwiches at this local place, and we just kind of ate our feelings.
That's the time
enough.
To do it.
It is. I mean, there are the most amazing pediatricians and specialists that are life-changing, and then there are just ones that should not be doing that job. Do something else.
Yeah.
Do something else.
There's a way to deliver information, and there's a way not to. And the nonchalant way to deliver any diagnosis,
yep,
of any kind,
yep,
is not in a casual way.
No, no, not at all.
No,
no, and it's life changing for everybody in the room. So how about we give it the respect that that's due?
Right, exactly, yeah, anyway. And especially with this kind of diagnosis, it's so variant that you,
yes,
just don't know, mm, what the future holds in, yeah, any way.
No, no.
So you just feel so lost that,
yeah,
you know, it was, they could have said anything to you at that point.
Yeah.
You would have went, I don't know what you're talking,
yes,
about.
Yeah. It's like another language to, yeah, learn.
Really, they should have you,
exactly,
back in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, you let that sink in, then you come back in and we'll talk to you about it again.
Yeah.
How did you tell your family?
I mean, I just kind of told them, like,
yeah,
you know, they knew something was going on because she obviously wasn't sitting up. She still doesn't,
yes,
sit up.
Yeah.
And sister was doing the other thing.
Yeah,
and,
that's right.
And they're still very hopeful, you know, although everybody pretty much says, well, one day I know she's going to speak.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I hope so. I hope she, yes, has enough words.
Yes.
To get by.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. So she can communicate, yep, some of her needs.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure. Yeah. Mm.
And did you meet other parents with children with cerebral palsy anywhere, or did you seek them out, or did you say, I don't want to be a part of that new gang, or?
I mean, I joined a couple Facebook groups that were kind of helpful, kind of not.
Mm.
I was in a local group for moms, through, like, we have a breastfeeding center here.
Yep, yep.
That was a great resource. I found a mom through there who also has identical twins that are medically different.
Yes.
Right.
And she directed me to a Facebook page literally called, like, Identical Twins That Are Medically Different.
Right.
Yeah, right. Okay. Yep.
And that kind of brought hope to me because,
yes,
you know, growing up, every twin that I knew was,
yep,
fine,
a typical,
yep,
twin. You didn't hear of,
yes,
them being different. Other, unless one was boy, one was a girl. That was,
yes,
the only difference.
That was the same with me. Yes.
I think that's everywhere.
Yeah, because I think people were hidden away.
Well, I think twins have got this weird,
yep,
fairy tale. I mean, so many people you meet, oh, I would have loved to have twins. Like,
mm-hmm,
which is, I even think, it's sort of a strange thing to want. Like, I don't know. I don't understand the whole mystique fantasy of it, but that's fine. But until I was diagnosed with twin-to-twin transfusion, I just didn't realize how medically complex twins were.
No.
I had no idea.
No.
A completely new world, new vocabulary, you know, all these medical professionals that I didn't even know existed.
Me too.
Yeah. Yeah. And, and anyone that says to me, oh, I wish I had twins, or I always wanted twins, mm, I always say to them and said, don't wish something you don't know.
Yeah. It was amazing.
It's not about, it's not just about having two babies.
No, it's not. When Mandy and I did our live shows pre-pandemic, or at the very beginning of the pandemic,
yes,
actually, before we went into lockdown, we did this little thing where we got Super P's up on the stage, and we thought, oh, there'll be one or two people in this group who have had premature twins that are medically complex, and the whole stage was full.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
wow.
It was amazing.
Wow.
We're all bawling, as,
yeah,
you can imagine.
It, yeah, was beautiful. We,
yeah,
will do that
and
again one
we
day.
We will do it again one day.
When we come to Ohio.
Yep, when we come and see you.
You'll be on the stage. Might be in a decade.
Will we ever travel again?
I don't,
but anyway,
know.
That's all right.
No.
That's all right. As long as we're all safe, I don't care.
That's right. Exactly. Doesn't even matter.
Mm.
Oh, goodness.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
So, like, fast forwarding to now, if pandemic ever ends, do your girls go to the same preschool?
They will actually be starting hopefully in the fall,
right.
In August or September, I don't even know the start date, into a special preschool.
Right. Okay.
That are designed for children, you know, with special needs. Because Jem still has speech delay and feeding issues, she also qualifies.
Okay.
Yep. Although physically typical.
Yes.
So hopefully that's where they'll go. Right now they were just in the local the local preschool, but in separate classrooms, which was kind of nice that we did at least have that week, because now I know that they need to be in separate classrooms.
I was about to say, how do you feel about them going together?
Yeah, they loved riding the bus, and you know, for the most part, that week that they went was very positive. The whole week, yeah, they actually went for the week. And then I had to call them off sick for 3 days because they, of course, got sinus infections, ear infections, being around all those kids that they're not used to being around.
Yep.
And then they called off school. So it was just the week that they went, the school week.
And how do they get along with each other?
They get along because Beans doesn't have the communication. She doesn't have a lot of interaction that she initiates with her sister. Jem will bring her things, bring her toys, and try to engage with her. And she knows, she calls her Sissy, and then I'll say, what's Sissy's name? And she'll say her name.
Yeah.
And it's very cute. And if they go outside, she'll go, bring Sissy.
So lucky to have each other.
It's adorable. The way that, you know.
Yep.
If one cries, the other one cries.
Yes.
Can you hear that?
It's beautiful.
I don't know if you can hear her in the background.
A little bit.
A little, okay. I wish they had the ability to communicate better. So hopefully that's something that Long Day. Oh, we're being summoned for cookies. cookies.
That sounds like a perfect pea breakfast.
It really does.
with the feeding issues, she gets whatever she wants.
Yes, that's right. Yep. And we champion that for you.
We
and
do.
Her.
Yep.
You want cookies for breakfast?
Yeah, sure. Awesome. You ask for food, you get it.
Yep, that's right.
Calories a calorie. I laughed at that episode, Kate, that you mentioned about the waffles and the making with the chocolate and putting all kinds. Yeah, we had a pancake probably a year of just pancakes all the time.
Well, we've sort of regressed into pancakes, actually. Woody has had them every day. Well, he's home for the last week or so. And then yesterday, because we're all home, my husband as well, and Woody's like, yep, I'll have pancakes for lunch. And my husband's like, what do you mean? You had that for breakfast? And I was like, yeah, that's fine. Give it to him.
Make some more. There's no
totally
rules.
Fine. Totally fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. And everyone else is looking at my husband like, what? That's fine.
Yeah. Get with the program. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about what it's like right now? In the pandemic, what does that mean for your family? Obviously being home, but tell us a little bit the specifics. Being in America, it's different to here.
Yeah. In December, I decided to go back to work.
Yep.
And physically into the office.
Yeah.
I thought it would be a good time since the girls were going to be starting school.
Of course. Yep.
And I had worked from home for myself, commission only, very little money for those 2 years, 2.5 years.
Yep.
So going back into the office was a very big change for me.
Yes.
Yep.
I had to coordinate my mom and my mother-in-law to come at different times while I was in like this training. And then I got used to it. So I work afternoons.
Yep.
So I'm here until 12, and then I go in for a 12:30 to 9 shift, and then my husband was coming home around 4.
Okay. Right.
So there was just a small 4-hour window before school had started.
Yep.
And then for that week, I was able to get them on the bus, and then my mom got them off the bus.
Right.
So it worked out nicely. And
that
I was
all
able
a bit too
some,
good to be true.
Money again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shame.
And then we're back working from home again. So yeah. I just reverted back to what
you were doing.
2018,
yeah.
2019, Lana.
Yes.
Back in old clothes. Yeah, and the only difference now is that I'm working for the same company that I worked for before, but in a different role.
Right.
So I do have to, because I'm not working for myself, I do have to be more diligent about separating myself with work and home. And
yeah.
But we have a wonderful aide has come to the house that
the special pool contacted me and said,
I don't even know how this happened. They just contacted me and said, would you like Brittany to come?
Yes.
She can come Monday through Friday from 12 to 5. And I said, yeah.
Yes.
Yes, Brittany never loved anyone more.
Right, absolutely. And I said, as long as she's getting paid, I don't want anyone coming here for free.
Yes.
I mean, I got grandma for that.
True.
Yeah, so she's been coming since I think it was a week after they sent everybody home officially.
Right.
She comes every day and she works with the girls. She does. She puts the braces on Beans and she puts her in her stander and her gait trainer, and she does little like OT type little craft project thingies that they do. Yeah. And with Jem, we've seen just such an increase in vocabulary since she started putting three words together, which was just not happening. It has been a god. If she could move in, I would be really happy.
Yes,
I bet. Yep. Every wife needs a wife.
So far, I know she's coming till June.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, till June.
Okay.
June. Yeah, I think that's what it is for now. And then, I think the school year was going to end June.
Of course.
Something like that.
Summer.
And then we'll just be in summer mode. So we'll see what happens if they send us back to work or not. Right now, it's really up in the air. We don't know.
So have you got a lot of active cases around where you live of the COVID-19?
I don't think, I don't know what considered a lot is, and I haven't even checked, but I know the Children's Hospital went from 0 to 2 in a very short period of time, and then 2 to 9 over the weekend.
Right.
So there was that jump, and that's where they're concerned is seeing that steady increase.
Yeah.
And for us, life hasn't changed in that respect.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We still do all the same precautionary things. Yep. I don't take the kids out anyway to the grocery store and all those things.
Yep.
But Ohio, our governor, DeWine, has been very, very aggressive that he actually got national attention with the approach that he's been taking. So he was like one of the first ones to put people under quarantine.
Yeah, good.
And he started to close all the stores before everyone else. Uh-huh. And it's really flatten the curve, all these new terms that we're using.
I know. It's a whole nother language.
Yep.
Yeah. Right.
Well, that's good. Our state, Victoria, that we live in, we call them Premier, he's the same. He's been the most aggressive Australian, Premier. And really, we've got a lot to be grateful for.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's also terrible, but it's also good that we're home and we're safe.
Yeah, that's right. Mm. Keep your precious girls safe.
Mm.
Yeah. Absolutely. And the cases, as far as I know, the cases that they did have at the local children's hospital were asymptomatic.
Okay. Yeah,
they tested them because they were going in for a procedure and an outpatient procedure for something else. And,
yep.
And then tested positive. So that's promising, good. At least for the children.
That's right. They're not having a terrible time. Yeah.
Now we're just sort of coming to the end, but I just wanted to say, is there anything that we've missed asking that you would love to tell the world? There might be a few things.
Probably a shout out to the rectum. And one of the things you can't say that I hear very often now that I've got one that's mobile and one that's not is that I hear a lot is you're so lucky you're not chasing two of them.
Oh. I can't.
Oh, that makes me want to cry.
I'm really lucky, you know, that I've got one that, you know, has thousands of dollars in medical equipment and can't speak. I'm really, really lucky. Thanks, Apple.
Yeah, absolute rectum comment. People are just so fucking stupid.
They are stupid. Why are they so
stupid? That's the one
stupid?
That I hear the most.
Yeah, well, rectums, fucking stop it.
Yeah, stop it. You heard it here.
What do you say to them, or do you just get that resting bitch face? What do you have a comeback?
I mean, mostly it's pretty much what I said is, I'm very sarcastic, very dry. It's kind of my sense of humor anyway, but I'm really lucky, asshole. beyond.
It is beyond comprehension.
That anyone would even think that at any point would you want your child
to suffer
and not be able to do the things their siblings are doing.
Yes, it's cruel.
Communicate with their mum.
Yeah.
I think people don't know what to say, so I give them that little bit of grace, but you don't have to say anything, right?
Sitting in silence sometimes is a great skill.
Yep, you can.
Yep.
You can just say, oh, they've got cute overalls on.
Oh, look at their beautiful eyes.
Yeah, I love their hair.
Oh, my word. There's 100 things.
Yes, 100.
A million different things that they could say. Yeah. So, and I think it's important that people realize, you know, you have to be sensitive to what other people are feeling. Yeah. And this experience has opened my eyes. I went from, you know, being just a casual, kind of happy-go-lucky, not a care in the world person to really, really seeing people.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll be in the grocery store or a restaurant, well, before, you know, whatever. But, and I can see someone who's a little different. And not think negatively.
No.
Oh, wow.
That's my people.
They're holding that fork so great.
Or I'm like, look at those amazing AFOs. They're leg splints. Or where did they get those shoes from? They're incredible. I see all of that too. It's like you're being reborn.
Yep. And I think the best thing is that you see it with just, oh, look at that. That's a beautiful child or adult that, just like me, has just the right to be sitting here having a coffee. Like there's no good or bad. It's just he's an awesome person that's, you know. Whereas I think in the past, well, before something happens to you, you don't even see it.
No.
No. You really don't notice it until it becomes something that's in your face every day.
Yep.
And for that matter, I'm very grateful.
Me too.
It definitely opened my eyes to a world I didn't even know existed between the special schools and all the medical specialties. Yes. And
you meet the most amazing people. Just amazing people. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, people not Mandy. Mandy's a bit of a dud. But
you know, I have my off days.
Yeah.
No, amazing people.
I mean, how many people do you meet that you say to them, I could never do your job. I don't know how you get this energy. Yeah. I could never be a physical therapist. I could never be a speech therapist. I couldn't do it.
Yeah. Amazing. There is just amazing people. And
that's right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I think what it's also made me realize is everyone's got a story.
Yes.
Like it may be, some may be more profound, but everyone's got a story. Yeah. And there's whole parts of our lives that we hide or that we have hidden in the past. And now we're just like, whatever. Yeah. You can't hide with this. So,
no.
You know.
Right.
Yeah. It's very visible when you have a wheelchair, when you have standards, when you have, you know, bandana bibs around to catch their drooling or whatever term you want to use. That's all stuff is very visible, isn't it?
And the thing is, when people say things like Buzz and Woody were talking the other day and they're like, do you remember when that guy said to us at the snow, like when you introduced us and he said, wow, we got a couple of live ones here. I was like, I forgot. But they remember. It was like 3 years ago.
Yeah, they remember.
I think, what are you saying to my children? We've got a couple of live ones here. Just think it. Just think it.
Think it.
You know?
Yeah. Yep.
And then you don't even have to think it.
Oh.
Anyway, we have to wrap up. But I mean, I could just talk to you all night.
Oh, so. Me too.
I just feel like we're just chatting to a friend. I'm like, hang on, we're recording a podcast.
Yeah. Just,
but I tell you what, the peas don't care how long you go.
Oh, it's so lovely.
The peas are all for the long podcasts.
They sure are.
Yep.
We are your people.
Take you 3 days to listen to it because people are constantly interrupting. But
so we're going to have our cry, make a difference, laugh, and yes. You are welcome to join in.
Yes. Have you had a cry?
Okay. I have had a cry this week.
Yep.
My medication doesn't allow me to cry too often.
Yes, yes, right. Yes, yep.
Yes.
Kind of funny though, I cried because I miss a cat I had to put down.
Oh no, that's a really, really big cry.
Yeah, he was my comfort pet. Yeah, and yeah. I went through some old videos and thought about how he would lay on my belly when I was pregnant and lay next to me on the bed, and that was it. Tears.
Tears. Yes. Oh, definitely. Well,
and your cat was with you at that time. That's massive.
Yeah.
Massive. Yeah. He was with me through the whole pregnancy diagnosis.
Yes.
And then he got sick.
Yeah.
And you know, those pets, they just don't care what we're going through. They just love us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's sad. I would cry about that.
Yes, me too.
Yeah.
Thanks.
I haven't cried, and I don't know. That's I just good, feel Mandy. I'm a bit numb this week.
Yeah, I've had a bit of a numb week.
Yeah. So I just feel a bit like
nothing's
really touching me again.
Yeah.
You know?
Because it's relentless.
It's relentless.
Whole staying home.
Yeah. And I thought it's reminded me of the time where I didn't cry for a very, very long time because nothing really got to me. Because I'd see people cry and I'd think, you think that's something to cry about?
I know. Well, I think we've had so many. I was saying to a friend yesterday, being home with the kids now, because I've done it for a long, long, long time.
Yes.
Because I've got too many children and I'm old. And so I've already done this and I just feel like I'm sunk back into it.
Yes.
But then I feel like I should be grateful that my children and my family's healthy, which I am.
Yes.
And so I'm like, suck it up, Kate.
Yes.
And then 30 minutes later I'm like, what if I've lost my business? And like, suck it up, Kate.
Yes.
And I'm doing this cycle. And then I think, oh, you know, who knows what our premiere will say on Friday. Maybe things will change a little bit. But it's just when things change and you have no control, which peas know all about.
Yes.
But it's weird times. This week feels like a weird week in the whole.
Yeah, here in Australia.
Yeah, in the whole lockdown.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's got cold as well.
Yeah, and we're coming into winter. Yeah, this is our sucky time.
Yeah. But what made me cry, two things. I don't know if you've seen this, Lana, but there's this English guy on Facebook called Lad Baby, and he is the most funny, ridiculous man in the whole world. And his wife is very close to her mum. So when the British lockdown happened, he sent her mum a plaster model kit to make a model of her hand.
Oh, I saw it.
And then he gave it to his wife, and she was sobbing because she can hold her mum's hand.
She can hold her mum's hand.
Because obviously they can't. And I don't know why, but I just couldn't see for the crying.
Yes.
I was like, oh, this is, you know, it was just so beautiful. And you just realize everyone's so fragile at the moment. The whole world.
Yes.
Is really fragile. And I don't know, it just made me sob and sob.
Oh, it was beautiful. And the hand was in the shape that you could slip your hand into it.
Yes. And then she put a wine glass in it. She's like, I'm having a wine with mom. And they're very funny.
He normally plays pranks on his wife.
Yes.
So the fact that he did something so kind.
Yeah. And she was like, what have you done? What's in the box?
Yeah, I think that blew. Everyone was like, what?
Yeah. And then Lego Masters, which is a TV show we have in Australia.
Do you have that in America? It's like a...
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay,
yeah, reality show.
Yeah.
And our Lego brick man, they call him, who's the judge. Every time he sends someone home, he cries. We're all crying.
He cries every time.
Scholarship's crying. She's like, why do they send them home? Can't they just keep building? So that made me cry as well.
I know. I cried too, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
so,
my goodness.
And have you had any make a difference, Lana?
Just a shout out to the support worker that we've had coming.
Brittany, absolutely
life changing.
Yes.
And I definitely want to give her a shout out. I made her subscribe because
Hi,
she hadn't heard of the podcast before. And
thank you.
She obviously works with children and I'm sure she's going to listen. So shout out to Brittany. You're doing an awesome job. And shout out to the Starr County Board of Developmental Disabilities for bringing her into our lives.
Yes.
It's been amazing.
Oh, I've got goosebumps. Good job, everyone.
Yeah. Good job.
Oh.
Have you got to make a difference?
Well,
Mandy?
I was on MasterChef this week.
Oh, yes.
So there was an episode,
a reality cooking show.
Yeah, you have it over there. I think they have. Is Gordon Ramsay?
You were on it.
Yeah, well, no, well, I wasn't on them as a contestant, but I was. They had an episode where it was in a restaurant that that is near where I live, and my friend won a competition that we could be in the restaurant while the two teams were cooking.
Yeah.
And so this happened back in February before everything sort of happened here.
Yeah.
And it was the day before we were going on the project, which is we were on like a TV news panel-y type thing. So it was a massive week, and then we were flying to Sydney to talk to Mia Freeman on the Friday. So it was this bizarro Mandy, because all these really great things were happening that don't ever happen.
Yep.
And so just watching it back was so fun because I didn't know who was cooking. We didn't really know anything. We were just sitting in the Thai restaurant having this amazing food, but we didn't know who the competitors were. And just watching it again, I had like 10 messages. Oh my gosh, how did you get on that? Why are you wearing that pink dress again?
And just, I got a lot too.
Yeah,
on
you
the,
got a lot of messages
on
too.
On the 2P socials. Is Mandy on TV?
Yes. Yes, she is. But it just made a difference to my week because it gave me something to look forward to on Monday night. I had a good laugh. I loved it. So,
yep.
Thank you, MasterChef.
Yep. So my make a difference is I do not know this beautiful person's name because I get a lot of messages through all the social media. And so somebody messaged me and said, where's the best place to send to, like, if someone wants to send us, we get like books and And I said, oh, I gave the address, and it's actually where my work is because I realize I shouldn't give out my home address to strangers. So I gave the address, and I'm not working at the moment, but I went into work for 5 hours on Tuesday and I went to the bathroom and then I could hear the work boys, Kate, where are you? And I thought, oh, it's like being at home. Can I not pee? So I didn't want to yell back out, I'm having a wee. Anyway, when I came back out, they had these envelopes with beautiful calligraphy on them that said Kate and Mandy, Buzz and Woody, Millie, Molly, Miss Nine. And I was like, who gave this to you? And they're like, I don't know. We thought you knew her. I was like, well, I don't know her. So someone dropped off this beautiful letter, which I will read to you.
Yes.
And then I'll tell you what was in the envelopes. Dear Kate and Mandy, I've been blessed, I think, to have been introduced to your podcast, and I listen to them every week to learn, to laugh, and to open up my heart even more to the stories and experiences of the many children and parents whose lives have been so different to my own. I just wanted to say how wonderful I think you both are.
Well,
that's nice. There's an inherent goodness, I think, in each of you. Wow, what a thing to say.
Oh, no.
I can hear it in your voices, in your responses to people who share their stories through email and the SpeakPipe. You show such authentic compassion, understanding, and care. They are qualities of the heart I believe you can't fake. You are genuine. I've learnt a lot about listening to you about the lives of children with additional needs, about the lives of their parents and especially their mums, about the systems, societal, political and educational, which can either uphold and support you or make life incredibly difficult. My eyes were definitely opened when I heard about the school awards and especially about language. Once you hear and see things, you cannot unsee or unheard them. It changes you. I'm not a pea and have no pea shoots in my immediate family. But as I listen back, I think back on life and how well or otherwise I treated all those families who came across my path. And now my eyes are a little more opened. I think about how I will hopefully show that compassion, care and empathy that you demonstrate day by day. I think you both deserve so much by way of thank you from ordinary people like me. I want to give you a little gift as someone whose family is older. And even though we've had it tough through life monetarily, we are still blessed. We have a home, food on the table, have been able to travel a little. We don't want for anything really. So please accept these small gifts, something to spend just on yourselves. I also enclose a very small gift for your children, Buzz, Woody, Millie, Molly, and I can't leave out Miss Nine. When the shops open again, I hope you can buy something for themselves. Thank you. You are truly a blessing. Wonderful gifts in many people's lives.
Oh.
So I was like, what? Anyway, she gave Mandy and I a $100 gift card to Eastland, our local shopping centre. I just...
Wow.
I know.
I couldn't speak.
No.
And then I came home and the boys were doing online classroom thing with their curriculum support teacher who's lovely. Yep. So I'm like, oh, I'm not going to, I'll let them finish that.
Yeah.
They were doing some science thing. And then I was like, I've got something for you boys. And they're like, oh, Buzz and Woody. And they like swapped the envelopes because they knew who their names are. Anyway, they opened them up and I read the thing and I said, oh, she just said a small something. Anyway, it was $30, $30 voucher. And Woody goes, a small something? A small something? What would it be if she gave us a big something. And he just took it straight to his bedroom, put under his pillow.
I know.
And then Buzz just was like, had finished school, so he's sitting on the couch under the blanket, which is what we do.
Yep.
And he just like took it under there and was just holding it. And I was like, oh, this, why did you do that? It's so beautiful.
I know. Thank you.
I don't have the words to thank her, but wow.
Thank you. Miss Nine was like, what? What is this?
I know.
And seeing Miss Nine on it, she just loved that.
Yes.
And she said, who gave us this? I said, I don't know.
Yeah.
She's a very special person.
Very special person.
And she said, well, I need to write her a letter to thank her. And I said, well, we might not be able to, so I'll just tell her that we're very
so
thankful.
I hope you're listening, beautiful pea friend.
Oh, thank you. And she said, I'm going to Kmart for lollies. So she's wrapped. So whenever we can get back to the shops.
Yes, don't worry.
So thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. Guilt-free money.
Oh, I just was like, maybe I could buy something for me.
Yeah, I know.
You know?
Scholarship was like, you know, we really need new knives for the kitchen. I was like, I don't think what this is for. That's what
this is
for.
Not for knives.
No, I want perfume.
It is. Sorry, we'll keep going. Okay, laugh.
Yes. So, did anything make you laugh, Lana?
Jem has acquired the terms. Oh shit.
the best type of language.
And used appropriately, which I can appreciate.
Yes.
Yeah, that made us laugh this week. She tripped and said, oh, shit.
That is the greatest.
It's just the best. Oh.
And I count it as a win.
It is a huge win. And I tell you, people that don't understand that, you don't understand
There's a couple of tricky sounds in there. There's
shh. That's a hard one.
Yeah.
I thought, and it was clear. So.
Yeah. Amazing.
Oh, dear. Oh, boy.
Oh, what about you, Mandy?
Okay. Well, Molly and I thought we'd make some chicken nuggets our own.
Yes.
I was just inspired. Right. So I thought, okay, so we got the chicken.
I've never made chicken nuggets.
Well, it's not that hard. But anyway, I had like the raw chicken bits and then egg white, breadcrumbs, whatever. Yep. Anyway, she really got into it.
Yep.
And we cooked them and then she had this huge plate of them.
Yep.
And when she finished eating, she said, they were really refreshing. I just thought, that's just not the word I would use. But then I told her teacher because I sent a video to her teacher and she said, well, maybe they are refreshing as opposed to the ones you normally get out.
Maybe they're better.
It was just so cute.
Yeah, beautiful.
What a great word.
What a great word.
Oh, she really enjoyed them. So, you know what, do I have to do that again? Probably.
Yeah, you will have to.
The other thing that I have to say, if you are in the Hangout, you will need to find the post that was yesterday. So what date was that? The 5th of May?
The 5th of May, yep.
From Melissa. I'm not saying her surname, but you will find it because she said it took her 2 weeks to realize that Nacho Bean Day had a Zoom meeting attached to it. And so she didn't know that, so she stood out the front of her house and ate nachos on her bin by herself.
Oh, mate. I laughed and laughed.
I couldn't stop laughing. And Kate and I texting, I was like, I can't stop.
I was like, that is a true pea person.
That's
too.
A true
pea. You're overwhelmed. You're like, right, I'm going to do this bloody nacho thing. And then when you're doing it, you think, it's a bit weird, really, just standing out here eating nachos on my own.
That is the winner of making me laugh. And then I wrote, this is going to be my make a laugh. She goes, it'd be an honour. So, Melissa, thank you.
You really made me laugh
so
too.
Funny.
Yes, and it was so funny.
Thanks for adding yourself.
Thank you. And we will do
Donut on the Couch Day.
Yeah, we'll organise that. Not this weekend because it's Mother's Day. But
so we'll see.
We'll see. my make a laugh, I've got a couple of things, but I meant to say like a week ago, our pediatrician, we had to like get the scripts emailed to the chemist because it's all telehealth, you know, and then he posted them to me so I could take it up and he wrote on the envelope in like capitals, the incredible Kate Jones. Oh. And I've stuck it up on the kitchen wall. I'm like, well, I'm keeping this. And that's how I want to be addressed from now on.
Okay. Incredible.
Incredible year 8 coordinator. And then Monday night, I think it was Monday night, Have You Been Paying Attention?
Yes.
Came back on TV.
Oh, my gosh, I laughed a lot.
I just forgot how funny that show was. It's just brilliant Australian.
It's like five comedians and then there's a host and he'll say current affairs and he'll say, what was this story about on Nine News, and then they'll actually tell you what they think the story was, but it's usually a ridiculous answer. Yeah.
And it's, I don't know why it's so funny.
It's so funny.
But I just like, and I thought, how's it going to work? Because they're all on little Zoom things, but it worked really well.
Yeah, it did.
And it was just, I don't know, really nice light relief.
Yeah, because you know what they joked about? The duck esophagus.
Yes, they did.
Because Billy goes, see, it wasn't just us.
I was like, it's the duck esophagus. Yes, and I was like, no one in my house knows what I'm talking about. But
that, you're going to hear that on Thursday, Lana, from last week's episode. That
yes.
Little joke.
Oh, yes. Anyway. So, yes. Yes. Very funny. But, yeah. So, we will finish up in a minute. But before I say thank you, I wanted to say to Pete, you have to go and rate and review.
Thank you.
It's your job. Yep. If you want to be in the book, you have to email me at the 2P's Gmail and just put book in the heading. You can either... You can either say you want to be in it as a pee friend at a rectum and how the podcast has affected you. You don't have to write the whole story, just write a little bit. And then if you are a pee or a pee shoot or a pee mum, whatever, then you can just write and say you'd like to be in it. And then Mandy and I will get in touch with you at some point because, you know. It's all starting to happen, the book, but also we are homeschooling. So. You know, that's all right. You know, we'll do it. But so if anyone wants to be in that book, you have to let us know.
Yes.
Because we do not have research skills to come and find you.
No, no. You've got to write book.
Yeah, mediocre journalism at best. So
we are not editors.
But that's how we got onto you, because you said you wanted to be in the book,
yes,
and now you're on the
right,
podcast.
Yes, that's right,
Lana,
here you are.
Yeah,
and
we're so,
so thankful for you giving your time at 6 a.m.
Yeah, and giving cookies. For breakfast.
Yes.
Thanks for staying up late for me since it's, what time is it now
it's all
there?
Right for me. It's 1:45, but for Mandy, that is very late.
You know.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
I had an extra coat, no sugar. I'm fine.
Yeah, that's right.
I just get energized by speaking to my people.
Yeah.
So I am in it and I loved every moment,
Same.
Lana, and I'm so thankful.
Yeah,
and
thank you.
You're my CP mum. And we see you and we're so thankful for your story today.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for letting me tell my story.
And we will see you in the hangout,
And we'll hear from you in the book.
Yes. Okay.
Great.
Okay, see you.
See you, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.